I'm Robin. Welcome to Eastlake. This is a church for everyone. And maybe you're at about that time now where you're looking back and saying, all those resolutions I started in January, all those things I was going to do, and where did they go? You sort of feel like it's not happening. And this series that we're starting today is designed sort of to let us know that God's got our back and that He can leverage our life. Everything about you, your personality, your background, your family, the gifts and talents that you have, everything that you've been through, God can leverage that to move something. When I was a kid, we had this sort of a big piece of property, and we're going to put a fence in around the whole property in the summertime, and I got to be the assistant fence builder. And the worst part about it was you had to dig these holes to put the fence posts in, and where I lived, there was tons of rocks right under the surface of the dirt. I mean, just tons of them. There was no way to get those rocks out of there unless you had some leverage. I had this big, huge iron rod that we used to use. You dig down a little bit, and then you would get that rod, and you would just get it underneath the rocks, and you would leverage them, and you could move them out of where they were. Even though they were stuck, you could move them because you had leverage. Leverage helps things move. And believe it or not, everything about you is just perfect for God to move somebody else towards Him. Now, you might be thinking, think of a teeter-totter. Okay, leverage, teeter-totter. To give you an idea what leverage is, check this out right here.
All right, you got to put the blindfold on, take up the log, and throw it into the bed. Just like that. Where's the log at? Step right, Pete. Just do it?
Yep.
Oh! God! That was to get all the guys ready for church. The only reason to show that video is because it was funny. Well, no leverage, though. We're going to look at it in a very positive sense. And look at the big idea this weekend. Write in your notes. Everyone is designed to make a difference. Everyone is designed to make a difference. And look at this part of the Bible in Ephesians. For we are God's masterpiece. Turn to the person next to you and say, did you know that? Just tell them, did you know that? We are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do good things He planned for us long ago. Good things. So a masterpiece. What is it to be a masterpiece? Think of all the different things God has created. Niagara Falls, the stars in the sky, the mighty mountains, the duck-billed platypus. God made that. And of all the everything He's ever created, you're the masterpiece. You're the crowning achievement. The master gets to decide, and he says, you and me, we're the masterpiece. Now, when you hear that, you know, you might be like me and think, oh, yeah, right. I don't feel like a masterpiece. I don't feel like God's created all kinds of good things for me to do because I've done a lot of bad things. God can't use my life. Who would ever call me a masterpiece? I don't feel like a masterpiece. It doesn't seem like other people look at me and see a masterpiece. Do you know the most important thing there is what God thinks about us? But the second most important thing is what we think about God and how we believe what He believes about us. And you can hear me say you're a masterpiece, but you may not feel like it. And when Jesus was here on earth, He picks His team. And He picks different people that He wants to be on His team, men and women, you're going to be on my team. And He picks this one guy that shocks the crowd. His name is Peter. He's a fisherman. Runs a small business, doesn't go to church anymore, got burned out on religion, left all that behind, still wants to be with God, but decided a long time ago, if I have to be a part of the church, then I guess I can't be with God. Maybe you know someone like that. Peter grew up in an area where there was only one church, the national church, the Jewish church, and he decided, that's not helping me. I feel guilty every time I go, but I still want to be with God. Well, then you have to go to church. Well, I don't want to go to church. Well, then you can't be with God. So he's trapped. Then he sees Jesus one day. And you know, Jesus doesn't really talk about church at all. He talks about A God that loves him and forgives him and would do anything, including send his own son to earth to be with him. And Peter's like, where have I been? How come no one's ever told me this stuff? And then he shocks Peter by saying, I want you to be on my team. I want you to come and make a difference with me. And Peter's like, listen to what he says. It's in your notes. When Simon Peter realized what had happened, he fell on his knees before Jesus and said, oh, Lord, please lead me. I'm too much of a sinner to be around you. Imagine that. God says, you're a masterpiece. Everything about you, Peter, your background, your personality, the people that you know, I need you. And Peter's response is, I'm too much of a sinner. You don't know my background. I don't know if you ever bought a used car before, but if you had, you might have looked at the Carfax. It's something they invented now to tell everybody the history of a used car. So when you buy a used car, you can find all the facts of its history. There's one right there. I have one in my hand, the Carfax. It tells you everything about the history of the car, all the facts of the car. So if you were going to buy this car, you'd look at it. And one of the things you want to know is right in the corner where it's, the car's had an accident. Damage reported. And right underneath it, two previous owners. This is not the car that you want to buy because it's had an accident and it's had some damage happen in its past and it's been through relationships and you don't want to buy that car. And Peter tries to tell Jesus, Lord, I have a bad Carfax. And maybe you or I, we sort of see our lives this way. And that's what's circled right at the top for everybody to see. Explanation point, because I've had some accidents. And I have some damage in my past. And I've been through some stuff, and you've been through some stuff. And you think, doesn't this matter most? Nobody's going to pick me, God. Nobody's going to have anything to do with me. And there's a promise that Peter has never heard. Let me read it to you. It's in the Bible. For God's gifts and his call can never be withdrawn. Would you circle that? Regardless of the people facts, the facts about my history, God's promise, his gifts, can never be withdrawn. He will never go back on his promises. He never will. So it doesn't matter what the Carfax says. It doesn't matter what I've been through, how many accidents, how many relationships. Everything about me, my personality, what I've been through, my family, my friends, everything about me, God says, is perfect to leverage to reach someone else. Now let's look at some different things. The first one is, here's some ideas, and Jesus is going to kind of clear some things away. The first one is, God would never pick me. God would never pick me. And the idea there is that, you know, Peter's saying, well, God would never pick me. He would never have anything to do with me. He could certainly pick someone else that would be better than me. And Jesus tells a story to sort of set the whole thing up. He gathers everybody around, and in this crowd there were so many different types of people, and he tells them this story. And look, the first part is in your notes right here. We'll just read the first part together. Jesus is talking. Again, it'll be like a man going on a journey. He called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. So Jesus is telling a story, and he's sort of the master in the story. And this word talents, by the way, it means gifts. It's where we get our word, eventually became talents. But back then, it was a weight, a measurement. It was like a pound or an ounce. And talents was 75 pounds. He gave them all $660,000 is what they all got. So he calls everybody, and imagine if your boss called you and said, I want to make some investments and see you handle something. I have $660,000 for you. That's just 1 talent. So what do we learn about God? No, he's not chintzy. God's a good tipper. Are you? Because we can be so cautious with our money. I got to keep it all. It's like, she didn't bring very good service anyways. And the truth is, I'm just not generous. God's generous. He's a good tipper. $660,000. Gives him $660,000 to do something with. And did you notice in the story that everybody gets something? They all got something. No, there's no zero talent person. And I know I've certainly felt like a zero talent person, especially when I compare myself to other people. It's like, man, I don't have any talents at all. Look at the screen there. It's filling all kinds of different things. Ignore the man behind the curtain. No zero talent person at all. And they all get something. In fact, they all get a lot. So if you've wondered, what's my value, what's my worth, it's a ton. Even the one that gets what we would call the least got a tremendous amount. And as Jesus is telling the story, I'm sure everybody thought, whoa, check it out. And there's sort of a method to the madness too, because they all get an amount that is proportioned to their abilities. So some people, you know, like there's a certain amount that they could do and they got that amount. And I know how it is. Sometimes you get the amount that you have in life, your giftedness, your talents, the amount of money you have to work with, your friends, your family, your personality, your height, everything like that. And then it's just fine until you see what someone else got. Hey, what am I, chopped liver? How come they got five? Girls are crazy. Every curly-haired girl in the world wants straight hair. And do you know what every straight-haired girl wants? Curly hair. It's like, I want curls like her. And the other girl's blow-drying it straight. No, you don't, girl. You don't want this thing here I wake up with every morning. You know how it is. We look. Or some people, and you may be here right now, you say, gosh, why do I always have to be the one in the family that always has to be take all the responsibilities? Why do my parents have to get sick? Why do I have to have all these kids I have to take care of? Why does my boss always make me tell everybody what to do? Maybe you feel like you have too many responsibilities. And one lady, she was complaining. She was complaining about it. And someone came to her and said, you know, God will never give you more than you can handle. And she said, I wish God didn't have such a good opinion of me, because I have more than I feel like I can handle. And here's the thing. This is what I love. God never gives me more than I can handle or less than I can handle. He never asks me to do something that I can't do. And listen here, He never asks me to be something that I can't be. He proportions life towards me. He says, well, this is just the right portion for you. Just the right talent. Just the height and your weight and your family and everything about your personality, even things in your past, is perfect for you to be used by God. If I can take my eyes off the other guy or the other girl, she says, oh, this is what God has for me. And even the stuff that I'm not that thrilled about. A story about a teenager that went into a pet store. He was going to buy a puppy. He goes into the pet store with his parents, and he goes and he's looking at all these puppies in this big, you know, sort of corralled area, and he's looking at all of them, and he notices this one little puppy that's kind of off to the side, little blonde puppy that doesn't seem to be walking or playing as well as the other puppies, and he's watching it, and he tells, Dad, that's the one I want right there. Tell the man, that's the one I want. Mister, I want that puppy. And the clerk comes over and sees the puppy and says, that puppy? Why do you want that, son? That puppy was born, like, his hip was broken when he was born. That puppy's probably never going to walk like the rest of the puppies. And the boy looked up at his father and then reaches down and he pulled up his pant leg. And underneath his pant leg was a metal brace. And he said to the man, I know, but that puppy is going to need someone that understands. And that person is me. I can't tell you how many conversations I've been able to have with people that had parents that were alcoholics, like mine. When I was a kid, I thought, God, we kept everything a secret and we buried it and we didn't want anybody to know that, and I never thought it could be used for anything good at all. And yet, I've had so many conversations with people that came through a home like that, because I understand. When you go bankrupt and it's humiliating and it seems like I'll never be able to fight my way back from this, and there's something about you and what you've been through and how you did fight your way back, and when the next person's in line and you're the perfect person for God to use because you understand. When your parents were divorced or you were divorced and you went through the blended family and all the difficulties of it, how are we going to divide up the property and why are those so mean? How could they... you know, it's so normal to think, how could they be so mean to me? When we stood up there and said we'd always be together over a house or a car or who gets the kids for the weekend. When the next person comes along, you understand. See, we all have a past in the Carfax. We've all been born into things, and we're all going to go through things. And there's going to be someone right behind us. And even the things that you, if you had one wish, that's the thing that you would change. I want to say to you today, that's not a curse. In the hands of God, that's a blessing to somebody else. Because everything about you, your personality, the way you're created, the weird way that you're wired, your weird little nose and your flat little butt and everything about you, God says is a masterpiece, because he says, you know, it's just perfect for me to leverage, to reach somebody else, to move them to believe. Because when someone sees your life and my life, they can say, maybe there's hope for me too. There's a legend in the church. It's been told so many different ways and can read like 50 versions online, but it's really interesting. It just keeps going. The story just keeps going. When Jesus left the earth, he ascended up into heaven. When he got there, all the angels greeted him. Jesus is here. He's here. He's on. And finally, when the roar goes down, an angel says, Jesus, did you finish what you were going to do? And Jesus repeats the famous words, it is finished. And another angel said, well, what's going to happen now? How's everybody going to know? How is the word going to spread? And Jesus said, well, I've left the people that were following me to spread it. And the story, the angel, that's the plan, Lord? Yeah, that's the plan. Everybody that knew about me, they're going to spread everything. That's my plan. And the angel said, what's your plan B? And the Lord said, there is no plan B. That's the plan. You're the plan for someone. They're going to see your life. There's habits that you've already broken or that you're in the middle of. There's things that you've gone through, unspeakable things that you will speak. And the Lord will use it so somebody else can move towards him. Now here's the second thing, and you can look in your notes. I'm not good enough. He continues with the story. The man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with 2 talents gained 2 more. But the man who had received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. And don't be taken back by that, because we all have stuff that we want to hide. There's all things we don't want anybody to see. And Jesus starts by saying a couple of the people, and encircled this part where it says, went at once. Doesn't mean they're better than anybody else. Doesn't mean that they're going to do anything more than anybody else. All it means is they just started quickly. They went at once. They were decisive. And you know that you can think of all great things and all the things that are going to happen, or you could talk yourself out of everything because you wait too long. But if you don't get started, it's like someone, you know, they don't know for sure where they want to go, but then they decide, I'm going to go to Ogden. So they take off towards Ogden, and about 6 or 7 miles up the road, I don't know why they would do this, but I'm going to go to Provo. So they head back down to Provo, and then they come to their senses and go, not Provo. So then they head back up to Ogden. And then they're like, oh, I don't know. They're not so bad. I'm going to go to Provo. They spend the whole day Ogden. I'm an Ogden person. I'm driving to Ogden. Nah, I'm going to Provo. So then, and some people are like this with Jesus. I'm all about Jesus. He forgave my sins. I'm going to do this. This is way more than church. I'm going to be all about Jesus. And then they're like, I don't know about Jesus. What if he takes something of mine? What if he asks something I can't do? I'm going to hesitate. Let me watch a little bit more. I'm not even so sure. Who even said? And you can, that happens. And then it's like, wait a minute, what am I thinking? I want to be with you. Of course he loves me. I'm going to get going. And then they turn. And do you know, lots of activity doesn't mean you're going anywhere. you can drive to Ogden and Provo, Ogden and Provo, Ogden. And at the end of the day, you look around and go, I'm still in the parking lot in West Valley. I just went back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back, and at the end of the day, I'm right where I started. So time's gone by and lots of activity. But I'm in the same. That's called stuck. That's called stuck. Try. And it's not about effort or energy. That'd be a great thing to write down. Just put a note. Getting unstuck is not about effort or energy. Getting unstuck is being decisive about a direction and keep going. That's unstuck. And two of them are like that. They're like, I'm going. And look what happens for them. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." Now listen, I don't believe you can believe it. I don't believe it. You don't have to believe it. I think the Bible says there's not like a little tiny corner of heaven where the people go that are just sort of the ones that kind of squeak in. You know, oh, we know about you. Yeah, we got to let you in because you prayed a prayer one day. But we got a special table for you over by the kitchen. And you have to have the chicken dinner tonight, not the steak. The waitress or the waiter will be by about once a week. The loud noise. You know, you're in or you're out. That's all. You're with Jesus or you're not. We get to decide. In the story, it says he gave them all their talents, and then he goes on a journey, and here's what it says. We have a lot of freedom. God's not constantly on our back asking us questions. He's like, not, you know, over man. There's no strings attached. We're not marionettes. He's not the puppet master in the sky. You have a lot of freedom to decide. But if you're in, you're all the way in. You're going to be regulated to some fourth or fifth or 19th or like way in the back. You're in. And you get to hear this. Because the problem is, and this is what Peter thought, I'm not good enough. I don't even go to church. I don't even read the Bible. I haven't gave any money to God in ages. I'm not good enough to do anything with you, Jesus. But did you hear what the Lord said? Well done, good. You're good. You're good because you were decisive. Not because of your morality, not because of your Carfax, not because of your past. You just made a decision. You were all in with me, and I'm here to tell you, you're good. Me and you are good. Come on. Be happy with me forever. You get the same happiness as everybody. Come in. You get to be. Have you made a firm decision about Jesus? Have you decided? I'm all in. I want to be all in. Because if you have, well done, good and faithful servant, share your master's happiness. Now the third thing, I'm afraid to fail. So now the story winds down a little bit. Jesus speaking, then the man who had received the one talent came. Master, he said, I knew that you're a hard man, harvesting where you've not sown, gathering where you've not scattered seed. Encircle this. So I was afraid. I went out and hid your talent in the ground. See? Here's what belongs to you. Most important thing about God is what he thinks about me, and that never changes. The second most important thing is what I think about him. And we get a picture of this here. Jesus said, let me introduce you to a person and look what they think about God. God's a hard-nosed God. This person in the story says, God is always making it hard on me. And I hope you haven't come from a background like that, but you may have, maybe in your family or church you went to, just feel like they made it so super, super hard on you. It just seemed like to be with God was a lot of suffering. And a lot of effort, and a lot of work, and a lot of you should not, and you can't do, and don't you dare. And so when you see God, the story of the little kindergartner that they're all drawing pictures, and free time, draw whatever you want, and this little girl's drawing a picture, and the teacher comes by and says, what are you drawing? And the little girl says, God. She's like, well, honey, nobody knows what God looks like. They will when I get done. And isn't it true we're drawing a picture of God all the time? This is such a difficult picture to live underneath. God, you're super hard on me all the time. And then he says this, and I can't count on you. I never know if you're going to come through for me, God. That's what this, you know, harvesting and taking, that's who you, Jesus, I don't know if you're going to have my back. And that's very normal if you come through something in your life that was very painful, especially as a child, and the evil happened anyways. And you look back and you say, whoa, God is so good. God is so loving. He's going to protect me. Well, he didn't protect me because it still happened to me. Because it's on your Carfax. I know in my life it can make me at times feel like damaged goods. Ever taken 100 showers, hot showers, and not been able to scrub it off? Just won't go away. Carfax, circled, accident, damaged goods. And then someone comes and says, Jesus loves you. He'll always protect you. And inside you're like, shut up. Because he didn't protect me. And the Lord addressed that one time in a prayer. And he did not say that he would protect us from evil. Although that's been, unfortunately, kind of the message of all the different faiths. Follow Jesus and he'll protect you. And it's not true. Jesus never said it. He said this, he'll deliver you from evil, but not protect. Because we go through evil and we're harmed by others and we harm people and we go through all sorts of things in our lives that make us question, like him, I can't rely on you, Jesus, not after what happened to me. You weren't there for me, Lord. You didn't keep your part of the bargain. And now you want me to be Miss Christian? Or Mr. Christian? Because we get this idea of him. Our picture's wrong. He'll protect me from everything, and I wish he would, but he won't. He'll never let anything bad happen to me. I wish he would, but he won't. Evil will never come across my doorstep. I wish he would, but he won't. And we know that. And the Lord taught a prayer, and he said, and I will deliver you from evil. So here's what it means. I'll be with you. I'll redeem it. I'll be greater than the evil. I'll turn the evil into good. I'll leverage it. I'll purify you. I'll strengthen you. I'll comfort you. There is no evil that will come into your life that will ever be greater than me. That's my promise. You'll never encounter anything at the hands of any person that will be more able to hurt you than I can heal you. That's my promise. That's the God that we serve. I will deliver you from evil. Evil will not stop the promises that I have for you. That's the promise. And I did want to give an invitation today in thinking about, well, what would the words be or how would we say it? And I thought, I don't have the words to make it go away or make you rearrange the picture of God. I don't have those words. But I know someone that does. So I wanted to create an opportunity today in our service. And it's a music video I want you to watch. And you can watch it or close your eyes or listen to it. It's about 4 minutes long. And here's what it is. And this is my prayer. If you need to rearrange your idea of God, God is greater than what has ever happened to me. I pray this is going to be an opportunity for that to happen. Check this out. at this part of the story, and Jesus brings it to a close, and he says something I'm sure he wished he had not had to say. He says, take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents, for whoever has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. He's not angry at anybody. He's not shunning anybody. He's not sending anybody to hell. That's not what the story is about. What he's saying is this, is that you can pile up all your money. You can go have 1,000 plastic surgeries. You can have tons of kids or no kids. You can brand new car, drive an old car. You can try to conquer your fear however you want, and it'll never go away. Unless, at some point, you can decide to trust and say, you are my master. Whatever you give me is what I'm supposed to have. Wherever you lead me is where I'm supposed to go. Whatever life you have given me is the life I'm supposed to have. And when that occurs, I don't lose everything. I gain everything. In the story, the Lord is warning. He's saying, don't pick a way that ends up with you losing everything. Pick me, because I pick you. And the end of the story and the bottom line for us is kind of a play on words, get off the sidelines and into the game, because I'm sure Peter was like somebody that had a uniform, he's on the sidelines, he's got his coach, everything, and the coach says, get in the game, and he's just too afraid. He's like, I want to stay on the sidelines. You know, and that can happen. Especially if you find a church, you feel like you can go to it and make some friends and everything. But this in the game is what it's about. And he said, well, and listen to how natural it is to be making a difference. Listen to the Bible. So here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. Take your everyday, ordinary job, your everyday, ordinary body, your IQ, your personality, your parents, your background, your Carfax, and just go to God every single day and say, I'm available. And I know there's something about me that's just perfect for what you need. Did you catch the last part? Is the best thing you can do for Him? You're the best possible person for something God has planned. Best possible one. And this last scripture, it's just in your notes, it won't come up on the screen, but for I can do everything God asks me to do with the help of Christ who gives me the strength and the power. So it's not a religious lecture today, it's not a seminar, come and hear all this and then let me pat you on the back and go out there and do it. This is a point of connection. To believe something about yourself. To possibly embrace. God will deliver me from all the evil, and everything about me is just perfect for something God wants to do. I am that metal rod that can move that rock.